From PastorBobReed.com. All Roads Lead to Rome, Part 4. 7 September 2014. Read by Dave Ridley, with possible mispronunciations here and there, for which he apologizes. Quote, All Doves. The three major cults of the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and the Seventh-day Adventists were all founded by Freemasons and funded with Freemason financial backing and guidance for one purpose only, to undermine and destroy Orthodox Protestant Bible faith that came out of the Reformation of October 31st, 1517. I state this in order that the low information folks can get up to speed here. This series of posts will answer lots of your questions about the world around us. If you haven't read part one of this series of posts, I recommend you go back and read part one and save it to your hard drive, because your personal destiny may depend on being an informed Christian. Hosea 4:6 said, quote, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge, unquote. While this specific passage was addressed first to the Jews, it was a prophetic value. It has a prophetic value and implications for the rest of the Christian world. Everything that the world has experienced since October 31st, 1517, directly or indirectly, has been part of the larger global effort to restore Rome to its ancient pagan power. In this series, I will provide a running bibliography that will confirm, validate, and provide additional information related to anyone having an interest in what I am sharing in this series. A significant number of the books listed at the bottom of this post actually can be read online at no cost to the reader. With each segment of this series, I will repeat the list by adding book authors' titles as they are recalled from my memory. This is a topic so large that it took me years to assemble all the important elements that make up the big picture. Not only were the three named major cults founded by Freemasonry and funded by Freemasonry, they have been infiltrated by Masonic Jesuit agents. The speculative branch of Freemasons, non-craft Masons, date their origin to 1717 with the establishment of the Grand Orient Lodge of London and Westminster. The Jesuits were founded in 1534, almost 200 years before the Freemasons. The Jesuits have been the major players in virtually all world events. The evidence has been accumulating by historians and researchers that show the Jesuits were instrumental in the creating of a new Greek text as the basis of toppling the King James Bible. I certainly do not hate Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, or even Roman Catholics. Rather, to the contrary. But what I do despise is the satanic Luciferians behind the religious systems that have been infiltrated, deceived, and corrupted. The thinking and belief systems of countless millions. This is just as true for other denominations as well, as including the United Methodists, Baptists, and Presbyterians that have been deceived and manipulated by the forces of Lucifer that have infiltrated all denominations. This single culminating event brought together all the various elements that precede the current growing one world order. It was the 1782 Congress of Wilhelmsbad when they brought together the various secret societies and factions that controlled European power, wealth, privilege, and prestige. For it included the Illuminati, Freemasons, Jesuits, and specifically Amschel Rothschild, Adam Weishaupt, among many others of the European aristocracy. The gathering lasted from July 16th to August 20th, 1782. Thus came forth the Illuminati or Enlightened Ones. Former Roman Catholic Bishop Gerhard Buffard of Guatemala stated that the Vatican is the real spiritual controller of the Illuminati and New World Order, while the Jesuits, through the Black Pope, Jesuit General Friar Peter Hans Kolvenak, actually control the Vatican hierarchy and the Roman Catholic Church. There is a new successor to Friar Kolvenak as of a few years ago. Bishop Buffard, who left the Roman Catholic Church and is now a born-again Christian living in Canada, based his statement after working 6 years as a Vatican priest assigned to the specific task of passing daily sensitive correspondence between the Pope and the leaders of the Jesuit order, residing at Borg Santo Sprinto 5 near St. Peter's Square. Yes, the man known as the Black Pope controls all major decisions made by the Pope, and he in turn controls the Illuminati, said Bishop Buffard. I know this to be true since I worked for years in the Vatican and traveled with Pope John Paul II. The Pope takes his marching orders from the Black Pope, as the Jesuits also are the leaders of the New World Order. With the task of infiltrating other religions and governments of the world in order to bring about a one-world fascist government and a one-world religion based on Satanism and Lucifer, said the former Roman Catholic bishop. People can't imagine how evil and how much destruction they have caused and will cause, while at the same time using the perfect cover of hiding behind black robes and profession to be men of God. Bishop Buffard's first-hand knowledge of the evil lurking within the hierarchy of the Vatican, and particularly the Jesuit order, confirms the testimony of other researchers, including Bill Hugues, himself a SDA pastor and author of the shocking books The Enemy Unmasked and The Secret Terrorists, as well as preeminent researcher of the Jesuit order Eric John Phelps, author of Vatican Assassins. Bishop Buffard's first-hand knowledge of the evil lurking within the hierarchy of the Vatican, and particularly the Jesuit order, confirms the testimony of other researchers, including Bill Hugues, himself a SDA pastor and author of the shocking book The Enemy Unmasked and The Secret Terrorists, as well as preeminent researcher of the Jesuit order, Eric John Phelps, author of Vatican Assassins. Bishop Buffard claims the Jesuits act like the perfect chameleons, taking on the identity of Protestants, Adventists, Mormons, Baptists, and Jews with the intention of bringing about the downfall of America, as well as bringing the country under a one-world religion based in Jerusalem and under the control of their leader, Lucifer. I know firsthand that the Vatican controls and monitors everything in Israel with the intention of destroying the Jews, said Bishop Buffard, adding, the true purpose of the Jesuit order is to orchestrate and control all leaders of the world in order to bring about a major worldwide conflict, which will eventually destroy America, the Middle East, and Israel. They destroy everything from within and want to bring about the destruction of the Catholic Church as well in order to usher in a one-world religion based on Satanism. This is also seen in the way priests worship in the Mass, actually worshiping the dead. Also, signs of Satanism are seen in many outward symbols, customs, and vestments displayed by the Church. After his service in Rome, Bishop Buffard spent time in Africa and Guatemala, rising to a position of power within the Roman Catholic Church. However, with this religious power came affiliation and membership as a Freemason, becoming a 37th degree Masonic member, something supposedly frowned upon in the Roman Catholic Church, since, according to canon law, membership in a Masonic lodge brings immediate excommunication, so we are told. I might add here that this traditional Freemasonry only goes to the 33rd degree, but we have numerous reports indicating extending to even higher degrees, such as Bishop Buffard was a member. According to Bishop Buffard, Freemasonry is used by the Roman Catholic Church to carry out its secret plans, as many other high-level priests, bishops, cardinals, and even popes have joined secret societies along with others in other religions and governments, many working together to further the evil Illuminati agenda. His secrets backup reports, including a book authored by a former CIA agent. This surfaced in the early 1980s when French and Italian newspapers reporting more than 150 high-level priests with membership in Freemasonry's P2 Lodge and other secret societies as well. Bishop Buffard, a born-again and practicing Christian, said, "We must always pray for our leaders by openly denouncing evil and exposing the Jesuits for what they really are." After leaving the Roman Catholic Church, Bishop Buffard also made amends and said and asked the late Jesuit priest, Friar Alberto Rivera, for his forgiveness. Friar Rivera was one of the few Jesuit priests with the courage to expose the evil intentions of the Society of Jesus, coming forward telling how he worked as one of the Jesuit order's infiltrators in America with the job of infiltrating Protestant and Baptist churches with the intent of destroying them from within. Freemasonry has the largest representation of clergy in both the Baptist and United Methodist churches. When I was a bishop and still loyal to the church, I once wrote a letter denouncing Friar Rivera and advocating his death, said Bishop Buffard. When I realized the truth, I searched out Friar Rivera and asked his forgiveness. We became good friends, and I know he was telling the truth. He was an honest man who also found God. I know the Jesuits tried to change the truth, saying he never was a priest and destroying all evidence backing that up. They have tried to do the same to me, but Friar Rivera was telling the truth without question. I know that for a fact, and even was with him several weeks before his death. He was suffering terribly after being poisoned with acid. Like I said, you can't imagine the suffering and destruction that has been caused and will be caused by the Jesuits. In an article entitled Alberto, the Big Brouhaha, an unknown writer who followed Bishop Buffard's career and his connection with Friar Rivera had this to say, including the Vatican's difficulty in trying to cover up both Friar Rivera and Bishop Buffard's accusations. Then there's the corroborating testimony provided by Friar Gerard Buffard. He was a high-ranking bishop born in Quebec, Canada. He rose from the lower levels of his order to become an assistant for many years to popes such as Paul VI and John Paul II. He converted to Protestantism and claims he was the man who received the orders to eliminate Rivera. In a documentary called Unveiling the Mystery Behind Catholic Symbols, Buffard shows a fancy 18-karat gold-plated pen containing a special disappearing ink with which the Holy Office authorities signed top-secret documents. He claims, "With this pen I am holding, I signed the order to kill Dr. Rivera." Pretty dramatic cloak-and-dagger stuff. His previous high-profile position would make him an easy target for discrediting, yet the silence is deafening. The Vatican also has shown its own credibility problems to contend with. From a historical context, Alberto's claims to be a Jesuit working undercover to destroy Protestant churches is not as far-flung as it might seem. The Jesuits were created in 1541 by Ignatius de Loyola, for the very purpose to destroy the work of the Reformation, although some Jesuits dispute this, naturally. They engaged in countless dirty tricks, assassinations, and treasonous plots during their heyday. The office of the Inquisition was an outgrowth of their mission, which resulted in the torture and/or murder of millions of innocent people for heresy. That department has since been renamed the Holy Office. But the Jesuits have never bothered with a name change. How much their goals have changed with time is also an unknown. Neither organization is very transparent, and both serve the interests of the Pope. Bad reputations are not easily forgotten, and especially since the current Pope himself is a Jesuit. The Jesuits and the Freemasons are always quick to respond with refutations concerning their mission and reputation, naturally, as often is the case in refuting the truth. Alberto Rivera has had none, quote, Alberto Rivera had none of the resources. His own story came from him alone. It wasn't revised and honed for decades by committee before Chick Publications published his story, unquote, said Bishop Buffard. After 20 years of investigation, all the Pope's resources have failed to prove Alberto Rivera was a fake. Of course, Alberto failed to prove his allegations against the Vatican as well, so at best the contest is still a draw. Maybe future developments will yield something more dramatic, but don't count on it. We will probably never know if Alberto Rivera was really real unless the Pope were to come straight out and confess it. It has about as much chance as a UFO landing on the White House lawn. It is definitely food for thought, and far more scary than any premise aired on the X-Files. Throughout history, the Jesuit order has been tied together with war and genocide, being formally removed from over 80 countries over the last three centuries. As researchers claim, the Jesuits are the real spiritual contenders of the New World Order, and one of the most documented books is Vatican Assassins by Eric John Phelps. With more than 28 major universities from coast to coast, with Georgetown University near the U.S. Capitol, their senior institution, the Jesuit Order, has created a strong political and financial foothold here, including secret control of the CFR and control of many banks like Bank of America and the Federal Reserve banking system. The Jesuits are in a catbird seat to cover its trail. The Bank of America started out as the Jesuit-owned Bank of Italy in San Francisco during the gold rush era of California. House of Rothschild has been the Vatican's fiduciary since the early 1800s. The reason for this was the Bible's position on usury, and so to get around the sticky issue of charging interest on borrowed funds, the Vatican contracted out the task, letting the Jewish bankers be their lending agents and lend out at usury interest. Interestingly enough is the fact that the three major cults, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and the Seventh-day Adventists, all claim to be, without exception, the one and only true church. Every one of them will tell you, "We are just like you," meaning a Christian believer. But they are heavily into mind programming with their doctrine and all tend to be coy about their particular belief system. They never are out in the open about what they really believe. This has raised red flags in my way of thinking in dealing with the pre-wrath rapture babel site and a couple of critics that want to debate me and nitpick my posts. I am too busy to play the kind of mind games they want to engage in. Their tactics reveal their agenda, and they like to major in minors, nitpick little points here and there to make them sound like they are major arguments and to distract you from the greater matters of importance. I don't subscribe to or engage in debating with the Greek or Hebrew matters when they do not use the mathematically proven, God-inspired, validated heptatic signature of the KJV Bible that I use, when I know they are using the Nestle-Aland Greek text, used today by nearly all theological institutions. It is based on the corrupt, critical Westcott and Hort New Greek text, which has changed the Greek text thousands of times and has replaced functional equivalents for dynamic equivalents many more thousands of times in the modern translations, such as the NIV and the NKJV. Jesuits are masters of the divide-and-conquer strategy, also known by the other term, the Hegelian dialect, that dialectic, that I have noted previously. Because I went to a Christian college, and the fact that I majored in history and pre-ministry, I was taught all about the Hegelian dialectic method used by Rome to destroy the Protestant Bible-believing beliefs. A number of organizations that research religious groups, sects, churches, as to their background beliefs have concluded that every pseudo-Christian cult was founded by a Freemason, which is essentially nothing more than a pagan Luciferian Baal worship. It turns out that the Seventh-day Adventist duo of James and Ellen G. White were not any different. The Masonic Satanic Memorial sitting on their family burial plot bears the traditional Masonic obelisk. If you go to any cemetery in the USA as well as other countries, look for the obelisk or miniature Washington's Monument, grave markers, and inevitably it will indicate the person buried there was a Mason. The obelisk is the symbol of regeneration powers or the male phallus. It is just as true for the Washington National Monument in Washington, or the National Washington Monument in Washington, D.C. The vast population of America know little of its true background, as well as a number of other national symbols. Ellen G. White, until her death in 1915, went into trances and supposedly received over 2,000 visions, wrote over 50 volumes, 100,000 pages, and over 200 million words. And yet, she only had a third grade education. As one with more than enough education and having some books, it seemed to me she had to have a ghostwriter or some external source writing on her behalf. She is revered by the SDAs, and that its adherents have to ascribe to her teachings as divinely inspired, or you are denying Christ. It was through her visions she believed that Jesus Christ was coming back through Orion's belt. The obvious flaw is that it isn't supported by the Bible, and it is a pivotal teaching compared to the connected to the SDA and New Age occult teachings. The teachings of Theosophy and the Ascended Masters include Orion. I won't waste my keystrokes on her associating Orion's belt with the coming UFO agenda. It's far too long and of little value. One of the obvious giveaways of Jesuit Masonic influence as to SDA occult teaching is their use of the all-seeing eye occult symbolism. Their publications carry illustrations and pictures with only one eye visible. It is done by blocking out or obscuring one eye or casting a dark shadow over one eye as to be hidden. This is a hidden in plain sight example of the all-seeing eye, like that which appears to be on the back of $1 bills. Truncated pyramid. The message is that nothing is hidden from the all-seeing eye of him with whom we have to do. With. Quoting Mrs. White. This reference is obviously not to the God of the Bible, but rather to the eye of Lucifer. Use of the hidden eye symbol is widely used by the satanic and occult community, embracing magazines that most of you would know by name. The fact is that the SDA cult uses Masonic logos in its printed materials. Like with the Word of Faith movement, unless you ask questions, they will not tell you anything. The major issue that defines the SDAs as a cult is the fact that they do not, I repeat, they reject the idea that salvation is by the grace of God through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. SDA doctrine believes and teaches that we need to keep the Old Testament law to finish the work of your salvation. If you fail to keep the law, you are not saved. I addressed that point in one of my posts on the aberrations of Seventh-day Adventists. The fact is that if anyone is trying to keep the law, their salvation by grace through faith is abrogated. It is canceled. The larger scope of the Jesuit One World Government that originated at the Congress of Wilhelmsbad in 1782 came away with seven primary goals. 1. The elimination of patriotism. 2. The elimination of inheritance. 3. The elimination of private property. 4. The elimination of religion. 5. The elimination of family. 6. The elimination of all government. 7. The creation of a world government. In 1773, Mayor Amschel Bauer Rothschild, in a meeting in Frankfurt, Germany, with 12 of his closest friends, and convinced them that if they worked together, they could rule the world. The Illuminati later adopted the Hegelian dialect, or thesis, antithesis, synthesis, as their method to achieve these goals. With what I have shared to this point in this post, and the three previous segments, the reader should be able to see how religion and politics are used by those working to control the world. When it comes to politics and religion, most people are very opinionated about what they believe. We would not expect less. Originally, the efforts to destroy religion were approached through war and violence, but with the Enlightenment era, it took on other masks to discredit religious belief and faith. If you have thought some of Pope Francis's statements that have been in conflict with either his church's theology or scripture, it is not the reflections of a senile old man, but rather the act of an international sabotage. The current Jesuit Superior General, Adolfo Nicolas Pachon, assumed his post in 2008, but he announced on May 20th of this year that he will be stepping down as Superior General as the next General Congress of the Jesuits. This came on the heels of the announcement that Pope Francis might be retiring as well. This fact was shared by Pope Francis to the Italian media in early August of 2014. These facts come as a complete surprise to many, however. It may have more to do with the fact that he, the Jesuit Governor General Pachon, and the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, and former Cardinal and current Pope Francis, Giorgio Bergoglio, are defendants in a case with the International Common Court of Law of Justice in Brussels that convened in April of 2014. The three defendants, Welby, Pachon, and Bergoglio, are accused of murder and child trafficking. The court has been taking eyewitness testimony, depositions, for several months now. The Italian press had already taken notice that several high-ranking Vatican leaders have suddenly resigned or retired without giving reasons for doing so. Secretary of State for the Vatican, Cardinal Bertone, was also facing potential indictment at the same time of his announced resignation earlier this year. The previous pope, Benedict VI, was himself indicted for the same crimes which led to his early retirement. All of this has led many to, as such, perceiving the reports as being a huge admission of guilt. Pope Benedict XVI cannot leave the Vatican grounds lest he risk being arrested by Interpol authorities. This was the reason, at his retirement, why he flew the short 8-mile distance by helicopter rather than by car to his retirement compound owned by the Vatican at Castel Gandolfo. Interpol was laying in wait to arrest Benedict if he set foot on Italian soil outside the Vatican city-state, so the Vatican opted for a helicopter flight to the retirement compound. On September 3, 2014, it was announced that Cardinal Dolan will be the Grand Marshal of the 2015 New York St. Patrick's Day Parade, and it will permit sodomites to openly participate in the 2015 St. Patrick's Day Parade. I heard in less than 35 minutes from my Catholic friends this announcement. They are furious, to be putting it gently. Cardinal Dolan even went so far as to say, "God bless the sodomites." I saved the video clip because it is a blanket endorsement of where Rome is moving towards. Numerous articles have appeared at internet blog sites have related that Jesuit infiltration of SDA leadership and local churches has caused an identity crisis within the SDA cult. The Jesuit infiltration of the SDAs has been used for more than 10 years in religious media and the internet. As I was writing my notes for this series of posts, I have been wondering about something that has been bothering me back to when I first stated that I thought the pre-wrath rapture babble site was a closet SDA disinformation site to play with people's heads. I have been researching and studying the Roman Catholic Church as far back as I can recall. I began to be interested in the geopolitical world events beginning with the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, his brother Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King. Coupled with being a history major in college and church history in seminary, the threads all came together in a plausible scenario. When I first read John Eric Phelps' book, Vatican Assassins, a picture was already taking form in the back of my mind. Ironically, John Eric Phelps was also influenced as a result of the assassination of President Kennedy. He was just a young elementary school child when the president was assassinated, and more traumatized than I because of our age difference. I was in my 20s. As I was typing this into my computer, it began to occur to me that the pre-Wrath Rapture Babel site might possibly just be a Jesuit coadjutor. Coadjutor. Disinformation site. You probably are scratching your head. What is a Jesuit coadjutor? I'll explain. A Jesuit coadjutor is a person that is sympathetic, is a sympathetic person and aids the mission of the Roman Catholic Church. They do not necessarily have to be a Catholic. They may have been educated at a Jesuit college or university, or they may be from a Catholic background. They may have been raised Catholic or have a family member that is Catholic. John Eric Phelps uses the term in his book Vatican Assassins. Several things get my discerning attention at the pre-Wrath Rapture Babel site. First, it is the heavy posting on the spurious books of the Apocrypha. Second, it is the heavy posting of SDA sites. Third, it is the absolutely absurd posts of sensational headline stories, but at close examination, there is no substance of content. Fourth, posts that are extremely, simply idiotic. Fourth, posts that are simply idiotic, like the Bride of Christ is not the Church, or the Ecclesia began with Abraham, or Septuagint versus Masoretic. Hebrew Masoretic is a corrupted Old Testament canon. These are bogus from the very beginning. There is not a serious theologian today that would espouse such nonsense, let alone give credence for such unfounded, unsubstantiated statements. Filth! It pretends to be an Orthodox site, while in fact it reads more like a supermarket tabloid rag like the Inquirer. Sixth, it keeps drumming its same old tune beat, like the Energizer Bunny, over and over again, and never backing up its statements and quotes with credible evidence. Ask yourself this very question, in the first-person singular sense. If I were a genuine Christian website, why would I bring ridicule, shame, and criticism for hosting and posting of lies that attempt to discredit and undermine the Word of God? I would be interested in hearing others' thoughts. For example, I noted above their posting on the Bride of Christ is not the Church. On September 1st, they posted an article that defines the Bride as New Jerusalem from a website called True Light Ministries. They hang their doctrine on just two passages of Revelation, Revelation 21:1 and 2, and 21:9 through 11, while all along denying that the Bride of Christ is the Church, which has at least 24 verses of Scripture that offer a much stronger case for its defense and existence. It's almost as if they go looking for controversial issues to distract the believer in order to play mind games, but yet never telling the whole story. I will deal with the pre-Wrath Rapture Babel site in a separate post by itself. I am inclined and beginning to believe they are something more along the lines of a Jesuit coadjutor website, seeking to confuse, deceive, distract, and play mind games with those going there to see what they have posted today to entertain the low information folks. The History Channel is one of those television networks that glamorize Freemasonry, exploit books and writings that embrace Gnosticism, and fantasize on esoteric teachings and writings, at the same time undermining the basic truth of the KJV Bible, such as to cast doubts in the minds of folks that trust the KJV Bible. The so-called consultants for the History Channel that comment, opine, or present questions are never mainstream theologians or well-respected and qualified scholars, but are almost always from the radical left spectrum of academia. A regular visitor and consultant at the History Channel on religious programs is the feminist liberal Elaine Pagel from Princeton Theological Seminary. She is known for her work on the so-called Gnostic Gospels. As an Episcopalian, Elaine Pagel is a major voice within the feminist Sophia movement of the 1990s. She has long been identified with the feminist movement. My point here is that the History Channel producers almost never or rarely consult anyone from a conservative theological background, but choose rather to draw upon the fringes of radical liberalism. Below, the reader will have a running bibliography, meaning that I will add to the list as needed. Having been researching and studying the history of the Counter-Reformation movement of Rome and its hired guns, known as the Pope's Army, the Jesuits, I have spent years of work connecting the dots. Bibliography. F. Tupper Saucy, Rulers of Evil, John Eric Phelps, Vatican Assassins, John Daniel, The Grand Design Exposed, Ralph Epperson, Masonry, Conspiracy Against Christianity. Jurylina, Architects of Deception. Jurylina, Under the Sign of the Scorpion. John Daniel, Scarlet and the Beast. The Bolognieri, Shroud of Secrecy. Bill Hughes, The Enemy Unmasked. Bill Hughes, The Secret Terrorists. James Billington, Fire in the Eyes of Men. Noah Webster, The World Revolution. Albert Mackey, Secret Destiny of America. William Still, New World Order. Albert Pike, Morals and Dogma. Modern History Project, The Freemasons. Michael Hoffman, Usury and Christendom, The Mortal Sin That Was and Now Is Not. There will be much more to come. That is, if we remain here past the end of September. Stay awake, alert, and be at work, reaching those you know that are unsaved. God bless, Pastor Bob. Unquote.